Our scripture comes from Mark 11, chapter, verses 1 through 9. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, so I'll leave it there, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
To share this morning the question or the subject, what can a donkey teach us? The donkey that carried Jesus into the city, some of the lessons there that maybe God has put there for us in that little donkey, that little colt of a donkey. And so I'd like to share with you this morning what I think are the lessons that little donkey can teach us. Now here is an animal story with wonderful spiritual lessons. I'm sure we're all familiar with the Disney animated animals and talking mice, talking bunnies. Of course, some of us remember Mr. Ed, the talking horse. I remember hearing about that. I think so. Well, you knew that there was a talking donkey in the Old Testament, right? Balaam's donkey. Well, here is a donkey that can't talk, or at least he didn't talk. I suppose the Lord could have let him talk. He could have let him join in that praise. I think in a way he did. Much like the animals today, praise the Lord. I believe in the Easter season, of course, it's in the spring of the year, we hear the birds singing, and I believe choruses of praise to their Maker. So I do believe that God can teach us through the animals that He created. And so I want us to look this morning at that question, what can a donkey teach us? Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 9 there, I want us to focus on those verses. If you have your Bible open there, I want you to look along with me. And if you don't have your Bible open, I'd ask you to open them. But what can we learn from this young donkey's service for our Lord? And so I want us to think about some lessons of that donkey. Now let's look at it again here. It says that as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethany, is how I would pronounce it, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" Well, I want us to think, first of all, about the opportunity of that donkey. The opportunity. Now, obviously, there was a preparation for that opportunity. He was a colt, a young donkey that had not known another master. Now, I think every detail in Scripture should not be overlooked. And so I believe that what the Lord is telling us here is that we need to be pure. Purity. Keep yourself pure, Paul said to young Timothy. If we want to be used of the Lord, keep ourselves pure. And you might be thinking, well, I've already blown that one. I'm not pure. Well, none of us are. We're all sinners. We're all really filthy. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, we may be clean on the outside. Hopefully, we smell good. But inside, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So how do we become pure? Well, we become pure by surrendering to Jesus, as this donkey did here. He was prepared for that very purpose, to bear the Savior into the city of Jerusalem on that last week before his death, that last Sunday before his death. Now, doesn't that say to us that God has prepared us to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, it does. The Bible teaches that the Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Now, we're not Presbyterian, but we believe that. Whether you're Baptist or whatever you are, if you understand the Bible, if you've read the Bible, you understand that our purpose is to glorify God. So we have been prepared for that very purpose. The Bible says that even before the foundation of the world, God chose those who had belonged to Him. And so each of you have been chosen to be like that little colt, that little donkey, who had never known another master. But though we have this background of sin, we cannot be used to glorify Jesus unless our lives are pure. And I believe that little donkey speaks to us about purity, preparation, purpose. Think of the privilege of this lowly creature to be a Christ bearer. I had a little nephew by the name of Christopher. Is that your name, Chris? Yeah, you know what that means, right? Christ bearer. Well, that's like this donkey. I don't know that he had a name, but if he had a name, it would be Christopher. Because he was a Christ bearer, literally. But is that not what we are supposed to be? Christ bearers. We need to bear him into the world, into our cities, into wherever we are. We need to carry him and lift him up and magnify him, glorify him, bring others to worship him as their Savior. And that's what happened. It says here that as they came into the city, as Jesus came to where the colt was and they threw their cloaks over it and he sat on that little colt. And many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now they kind of made a scene there, didn't they? They made a scene, but didn't Jesus say when they were rebuked by the Pharisees? I don't think it says that here, but in one of the parallel gospel accounts it says that the Pharisees said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Well, we're getting ahead here. But the purpose was to glorify Jesus. And all of that would not have happened unless this little Christ bearer bore Christ into the city. And we should be like him. That's the purpose of this little animal. That's our purpose. Again, we have an opportunity. We have a preparation. God has prepared us for the same purpose, to be bearers of Christ. And there's a place of opportunity here as well. It says that it was a place where two ways met. It says they found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. Now, I think we have to read the other gospel accounts. You know, that's why we have four gospel accounts, so that we can, well, number one, we can have confidence that what God has said is true. What God has recorded about the life of Jesus is true. But also, so that we might have different perspectives on the same event. Well, it was in a place where two ways met. There was a place of opportunity where two ways meet. That little animal could have been saying to himself, I have been standing long, waiting for a purpose worthy to fill my soul. That's what F.B. Meyer said about this little animal. Kind of put words in his mouth, kind of like we do today with our children's stories and fables and so forth. But I think that God put this little animal here in the Scriptures that we might learn from him. There's a place of opportunity where two ways met. Have you ever come to a fork in the road? I think it was Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. But that's the problem, isn't it? We don't know which fork to take. Well, maybe you're at a fork in the road right now. You're at a crossroads in your life, and you're not sure which direction to take. Well, learn a lesson from this little donkey. Here he was, standing long, waiting for a purpose worthy to fill his soul. And what happened? As he waited, I think the animals can teach us a lot about faith. They don't know that we're going to feed them. Actually, the Bible says that the Heavenly Father feeds the little sparrows. Once when we were at another church, there was a little sparrow that built its nest right outside the window of the church. And I noticed how people were so interested in seeing that little sparrow. But God put that little sparrow there with his little mother sparrow with her babies to teach us a lesson, I believe, of God's care for us. But also, of faith, that we might look to our Heavenly Father as this little animal did, to fill the void of purpose in his life at that place of opportunity. I want us to also think about the humility of this little animal. Again, what can we learn from this young donkey's service for our Lord? Well, not only opportunity that he had, but humility. I don't know much about donkeys, but I understand that they're a humble animal. They're not proud like a mighty horse. That's why they're not, I suppose, not taken into battle for one thing, but why the kings, the conquering kings, would often ride horses in history, Alexander the Great and others. But in Hebrew history, the king would ride in to the capital city on a donkey. I think to demonstrate that he was coming in peace and he was coming in humility. Well, there's no room in this kind of service for pride. But we live in a proud age. People are taught by the spirit of the age to elevate self and to be a survivor. But there was no pride in this little donkey. The Bible says that God hates pride. And perhaps that's why he chose this little donkey. Why he wants us to be like him, Christ bearers. And we cannot be Christ bearers of the one who said, I am meek and lowly of heart, unless we are humble. Unless we recognize that we are not God. But we have been placed here on this planet to glorify him. There's no prejudice. No pride, no prejudice. The donkey is a lowly animal and a desert animal. The Lord could have chosen one of the more glamorous representatives of the animal kingdom. But I think he also wanted to subtly rebuke prejudice. That animal, I don't know that he even admired the horses. I can't get into the mind of an animal. But I don't see any prejudice there. I don't see any preference. There was a man by the name of Baruch in the Old Testament. He was a servant of Jeremiah, the famous prophet. And one time Jeremiah noticed that Baruch was, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you know it was about the time, in fact it was during the time that Jerusalem was under siege by the Babylonian armies. And it was about to be destroyed. And Jeremiah had prophesied that it would be destroyed. And Baruch knew that, or he began to understand that things were happening as Jeremiah the prophet, as God had spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Well, he began to make plans for his own future. And that future evidently included wealth, power, all of the things that people want today, it seems. But God said through Jeremiah to him, "Do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. For I will bring evil upon all flesh, says the Lord, but your own life will I give you as a prey in all places where you go." I see humility in this little animal. I also see loyalty. Loyalty of service. Now, loyalty can sometimes be seen today, certainly in our military. And I know we have at least two military people here. Ryan, are you still in the Marines? And Jessica. And Jessica, I know she said, "Yes, sir." I like that. I like the politeness of our military, respectfulness. And you just came back from Iraq, is that right? Bless you. And bless all our troops over there. And Ryan, bless you as well. And you were over in Iraq before, were you, Ryan? Yes. God bless you. Anyone else currently serving in the military? Loyalty. I think that's what the Marines are all about, right? Semper Fi. Here's a Marine over here. Once a Marine, always a Marine, they say. Well, there's that loyalty. And I see it here in this little animal. He was loyal to his master. Donkeys were noted for their spirit and their attachment to their master. Isaiah spoke of that in Isaiah 1 verse 3, where he said a donkey knows his master. But he contrasted that with the fact that the people of Israel didn't know their maker anymore. We need to be loyal to our master Jesus, don't we? If we are going to be Christ bearers, we need to be loyal to our mission. Here the donkey was a Christ bearer. Our mission is likewise to bear Christ to the world. We saw an example up here in the video of this man, a Soviet Jew, who came to this country. Isn't that a miracle in itself? That God brought this man of the Jewish ethnicity to know Jesus. I don't know how that happened, but it was a miracle. And God, it was a miracle. I believe that God led him here to this country and to be a witness to mainly his own Jewish people, it would seem. Pray for him. But that's our mission, to be Christ bearers to our world. We need to let our light shine for him, don't we? And there was a moment. Loyalty to a master, to a mission, to a moment. I want to read a little more from F.B. Meyer, who I quoted just a moment ago, said of this little colt, "He teaches us that God requires undivided loyalty." He goes on to say, "Born of a virgin's womb, laid in death where man's dust had never come, you must have a colt on which none had ever sat. I cannot give you a heart which has never known another. But I profess to you, that is to you, Lord, you, the one who came into this world to die for me, that there is no rival now. You may have all. Yours is the kingdom." Well, again, these are words that are put into the mouth of this little beast, little animal. But I think this is true to Scripture. I think this is what God put this little animal there in this very famous scene, Jesus coming into the city, the people praising, his disciples, and others were no doubt caught up in that praise. But there was that little animal, kind of forgotten, that I believe God put there to be a lesson for us, to be Christ bearers to our world.